Welcome back to The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. It's at the local public school that you see the problems of the community, right there up front, unvarnished and in the spotlight. And in San Antonio, like in other parts of the nation, one of the critical problems that we see there is hunger. Kids don't have enough to eat. And on college campuses, it's the same there. Many of these students don't have access to the food. Meanwhile, the school cafeterias are throwing away massive amounts of perfectly good food. There's a disconnect. What's happening here? San Antonio State Representative Diego Bernal joins us. He's looking into this. He went on a tour of the schools in his district. Now he's looking for a legislative fix. We're also joined in the studio by Lisa Black, Executive Director for the San Antonio Advocacy Center at San Antonio College, and Claire Caddy. She is a co-founder and director for the College and University Food Bank Alliance. Welcome to The Source, all of y'all. It's great to have you here.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
So, Diego Bernal, let me ask you about this. People, they know that there's a lot of food in the cafeteria, but half of it gets thrown away. What's going on there?
Well, I think there's many layers of legislation, whether it's local legislation or state legislation and federal legislation, that's put the schools and the cafeterias in a bind. They don't know what to do with it. They want to give it back to the students, but because they're worried about getting sued and liability, they err on the side of caution, and so they throw the food away. At the same time, at those same campuses, a lot of the schools have programs where they're stuffing food, donated food, into kids' backpacks. And so when I was visiting these schools, I thought, well, how weird is it that you have a program to put food in kids' backpacks, and yet at the same campus, you're throwing away hundreds of pounds of food every week. And so we have a bill that aims to correct that problem.
Is there a practical reason, something that has to, a mechanism that has to be put in place that can somehow redirect food that is cooked up in the cafeteria that can end up going home with kids who need it?
Well, that's what we propose. Right now, there is a mechanism for schools to donate food to nonprofits like the food bank, but then the nonprofits can take the food and distribute it in the way that they want. But what we don't have is real clarity on whether or not you can donate that food and then give it to the kids on the same campus. And so what our bill does is say, hey, I mean, I can give you the way it works technically. It's a little bit boring, but the way it works is they can donate the food to a nonprofit rep who then can use the school itself to house and store the food completely in compliance with local, state, and federal health and safety codes, and then use the school itself as the distribution area to redistribute that food back to the students. So it kind of, the food boomerangs back around and stays on campus.
People don't understand that there can be kids in San Antonio and like communities all across the state and across the nation who the kids seem perfectly fine and yet there's no food at their home.
You know, I don't always know why they're hungry, and I always hate to speculate. I mean, part of it could be that there's no food at home, and part of it could be because they've got a working parent, part of it could be something, you know, a little bit a little more sad. But the bottom line is that there are thousands of hungry kids. And just to be clear about the research that we did, you know, our district goes way above 410. And I think a lot of people believe that this issue only exists on the east side or the south side or the west side. And it's not the case at all. This issue is prevalent throughout the city, including north of 410. But I would differ with part of the way you phrase that, in that the people who can absolutely see that there are hungry students are the teachers, because a hungry student is obvious and they require more care, they require more attention, and so in this way it doesn't quite work.
Okay, let me turn over here to Lisa Black, Executive Director of the Student Advocacy Center at San Antonio College. And what's happening there? What's the situation?
It's so interesting. What the context that people usually miss when you're talking about college is that we're just three short steps, right? 3 months from being a high school student to being a college freshman. So we really serve the same students. Their circumstances don't change magically over that summer when they begin college. And so the issues that they have in high school of food insecurity and honestly housing insecurity that go hand in hand, those things come with them to college, and it makes it very challenging for them to be successful. If you're hungry in a classroom, it's very difficult to pay attention. If you're worried about where you're going to sleep that night, it's very hard to be focused on your academics.
Well, then maybe they shouldn't be in college at all. Maybe they should be working.
Wow. I think there are people, and I've even heard folks say that, but the reality is that these kids have a lot of grit. It takes a lot of commitment and dedication just to make it through the front door. And it's our mission not to let them fade away because of a $200 light bill or because they don't have food for that month. I think what some folks miss is that oftentimes the issue is not that they need tens and thousands of dollars. We were helping a dad who was getting his lights cut off a few weeks ago, and he was having to make a decision about staying in school or getting a second job for the $200 that he needed. That's not an incredible amount of money, but it makes an incredible difference in that student's life in that moment where they find themselves in a financial crisis.
Claire Caddy is the co-founder and director of the College and University Food Bank Alliance. So is this a national problem, Claire?
It absolutely is. The research that both the Food Bank Alliance and some of our partners across the country have done finds that anywhere between 20% and 40% of students on the campuses surveyed have had some form of food insecurity, and the majority of them actually are working already.
So they're already working, but where's their money going if they don't have money for food and a place to live?
Well, it's going to both the cost of college and the costs associated with going to college. So that would include tuition, fees, and then the cost of living, as well as sometimes for students that are a part of the family economy, there's an opportunity cost to the family when a student isn't working as much as they can, or maybe their money is going towards school, and that student may need to also be contributing to their family while they're in school.
So what I'm hearing from you, Alisa Black, that many of these students have made a decision that they're going to really, they know that getting an education is their key to upward mobility, and so they're going to make it through. But this is a tough road.
Yeah, and I think that it's sometimes hard, once you've been successful, you've finished college, you maybe forgotten what it was like when you were really poor in school, and you're working minimum wage. I always have my social work students do a budget exercise where they have to figure out how to budget a full-time job on minimum wage and make it work, and it's incredibly difficult. When you add children to the mix and the cost of daycare, I'm amazed at the stamina of our students. I mean, I think they're the toughest folks on the planet, that they can somehow, against all odds, hungry or not, they continue to come and they continue to push through all of these difficulties to finish school. They inspire us.
And so now there's a food bank that's going to be coming online.
It's there. We launched our food pantry on our campus on November the 15th, and we have students. We had students in today. One of the first students that visited incredible, came down the hall, and she looked in the room, and my students were like, come on in. You know, there's food here if you need it. And the student was like, no, I'm okay for now, but I'm glad to know it's here. I think sometimes folks kind of misunderstand how difficult it is to reach out for help, and how tough a choice to make yourself vulnerable to that is.
We're talking about hunger on our campuses here in San Antonio and across the nation, both on our public school level, at elementary, middle, high school, also on our college campuses, at our community colleges and universities. It's just because you're in college doesn't mean that you're going to be able to get a meal to eat that day. We're talking about how to deal with that, especially when these people are trying to improve their lives. The number to call in and tell us your story is 210-614-8980, 210-614-8980. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. Hunger on our campuses, from public school kids to area colleges and universities, food pantries are sprouting up to help students deal with the problem of food insecurity. So what's being done about that? We want to hear from you about this. Give us a call. The number is 210-614-8980. Email us at thesource@tpr.org. And so let me go back to you, Diego Bernal. And you took this, when you went on this tour of the schools in the area, State Representative Bernal, what were you expecting to find?
We're going to talk to teachers and administrators about what we could do in the legislature to make their jobs better, how to make education better in Texas. And this is sort of assuming that we weren't going to get a good school finance decision, which we didn't. But there was one of my early visits. I visited a school where they had prepared a dry erase board with a list of their challenges. And on one half of the board were the academic challenges, and the other half of the board were their non-academic challenges. And the very first one, the very first item listed in the non-academic challenges was hunger. And it just, it shocked me, not because there's hunger on campus, I knew that it was there, but it was the depth of the issue. So this school had about 750 kids, and they had identified over 100 children who they were preparing food and giving it to them on Friday to last them through Monday. I was not aware of the depth of that problem. And so from that point on, it became a point for me to talk to folks at each school about hunger and about the cafeteria and about food waste. And the bill that we propose is our sort of best effort in trying to respond to that.
Well, I know you like to, you're a deep thinker about things, Representative Bernal. So let me just pose this question to you. I mean, here we are talking about hunger and about these kids, and it's not because there's a shortage of food. It's right there in the cafeteria. It's all around us. And that's one of those frustrating things when you are hungry is that you walk down the street and you see all these places and people are able to drive up and get all the food that they want, and you can't because you got nothing in your pockets. It's a poverty issue. And it's not for lack of work. I mean, a lot of people are working, as we have pointed out. It's just that work isn't paying enough so that people can actually afford food for themselves and for their children. I mean, this is a chain of events.
It is, but I think in the public school setting, it's even more frustrating. And if you want me to tell you that I wasn't at times disgusted with some of the things that I found, I couldn't, because in this case, it's not an issue of wages and purchasing power. In this case, you have in the same building hungry students, hungry people, and you're throwing good food away literally in the same place. So this is really just giving people food that otherwise ends up in the trash. It has nothing to do with wages or work. It has to do with whether or not we're a humane enough society to ensure that hungry people get available food.
Claire Caddy over at the College and University Food Bank Alliance, do you see this as a bigger picture issue?
The issue of food waste?
Not just food waste, but the fact that work isn't paying enough. You know, you can't go to college. You know, we hear the stories from, you know, granddad about, when I went to college, I worked a part-time job and was able to do just fine. And is that, you know, we know that work now, if you're working on the margins, you're barely making it.
Absolutely. A recent study that we just put out in October, we took a look at students who were experiencing food insecurity. And what I said earlier, we found that the majority of them already were working. The majority of them were already receiving financial aid. And some of them were even living on campus and may even have a dining plan and are still struggling. And that's not just because these students and their families aren't getting enough money in terms of being paid, but also because financial aid has not kept pace with the cost of college.
Is there a concern, Claire, that if these programs are providing, are able to provide free food to everybody who needs it, that there could be abuse in the system?
I think there is a concern. As a person who, prior to being in my work now, actually ran a campus pantry, I was working directly with students. And just like Lisa was saying, a lot of the students that we worked with, they only came in when they absolutely needed to. They didn't want to ask for help. They didn't want to be helped. They wanted to sustain themselves and take care of themselves. So, you know, is there a chance that some people may abuse the resource? Yes. But what we found was that was not what was happening. We found students were using it only when they really needed to.
Lisa Black over at the Student Advocacy Center at San Antonio College, what do you see? I mean, who's a typical person that would have to use these services?
You know, a lot of our students are parents in their mid-20s. Maybe they have one child. One of the things that we try and do when we're working with these students is a food pantry is an important solution. It's an immediate need. If you look at Maslow's hierarchy, right, you have to be able to have food and shelter and warmth. But we try and go a step past that. We offer case management services to all of our students who come in for the food pantry, and that is that we try and help them problem solve and create solutions around their current economic situation.
Because some of these students may be dealing with other issues.
Absolutely.
They may be totally depressed or dealing with generalized anxiety, and
Absolutely.
They're just not able to really manage their lives.
It's more than a pantry, right? So that's a part of a solution. solution, but that's an immediate need. We try and push past that because if our students are hungry, they're usually homeless or housing insecure. If they have those issues, they also have others, right? So it's systemic. We try and take a social justice perspective, and that is that it's important to get that first step, but the next step is that how do we really support that student long-term? How do we create some really strong problem-solving skills and some long-term sustained support so that we can get them graduated? They want to be able to have a job just like you and I. Many of my students would love to come back and take my job. I hope one does someday. But they can't get there if we can't get them through school.
Let's go to the phone lines with Carla. And Carla, hi, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Yes, I was mentioning to the lady that answered that I was a substitute teacher 1990 to about 1998. So my comment might not be current now. But what I did observe was that the children themselves were throwing away a lot of food. They were not finishing either. Why? I don't know. Either they were full, they didn't like it, do not have enough nutrition education, or just was not enough time for the children to eat it. But they threw at least half from their tray.
Okay, Carla, thank you for that comment. So Diego Bernal, that's probably a common comment. Kids aren't eating everything that they're given.
Exactly, but that is exactly the food that would be donated. Of course not if it's a half-eaten prepared food like lasagna or a hot dog, but if a student doesn't touch bottled water, if they don't touch a granola bar, if they don't touch a perfectly ripe and unpeeled orange, that is exactly the kind of food that would be donated and taken off campus, but now could be put somewhere else. Well, if the bill passes, could be put somewhere else and then given to another hungry student. So there are plenty of instances where students don't eat the food, but then there are other students on that campus who could and would eat the food if they could take it home or if they could have it after school. So in many ways, one student's lack of eating provides the opportunity for another student to take that food home. So it actually works the right way together.
Another caller, Mark. And hi, Mark. Welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Thank you for the time. I used to teach on the west side down in the inner city, so I understand a lot of what it is that's going on. And another thing that is a piece that we're missing here is these kids, you know, some of them would arrive to school hungry, and then they would eat empty calories, the Takis, the Cokes, the things like that. Lunchtime would come around, and just like the caller before me stated, these kids wouldn't eat anything because that short amount of snacks would then, you know, carry them over a little bit. They'd throw the food away. They'd leave school, head right out to the food or the snack truck out front of the school, and then they would turn around and load up again on empty calories. And that's another piece that needs to be addressed in this whole thing. That's really my statement. I want to, you know, thank you for the time.
All right, Mark, thank you for the call. Appreciate that. So empty calories, but let me ask you, Lisa Black, you were at the Student Advocacy Center at San Antonio College. Are your students reluctant to come in sometimes because they're afraid of the stigma that's attached to that?
I think it's really tough. We have to do a lot of training with our pantry volunteers about creating a sacred space where people can feel respected. Our president, Dr. Robert Vela, has repeatedly said to both us and our committee, he wants students to feel honored. So the pantry experience should be no different than going to HEB, right? You go and you walk down the aisle, you choose your food, and you leave. We try and really create a space where students can be respected and do the same for themselves.
Yesterday we had Chancellor Bruce Leslie here. He mentioned that there was a parking lot on campus at San Antonio College for students who are living in their cars.
Yes. You know, that's not a new phenomenon. Faculty have been aware of that for a while, but what was happening is that students were sleeping in Walmart parking lots or, you know, a mall parking lot, and it's really not safe for them. So we created a policy so that if a student wanted to sleep in their car, they would sleep near the police department where they're safe. We're not celebrating that these students don't have a place to live, but sometimes their car is all they have. If a student chooses to sleep in that car, we certainly don't want to run them off from our campus. We want them to be safe and protected while doing so.
So, Representative Bernal, your bill, HB 367, which would deal with some of the food waste on schools and try and get it to the kids who need it, is that going to cost school districts anything? What do you think the chances are of this becoming law?
It shouldn't. It's a permissive bill, which means that we're not imposing anything on anyone. Every school, were it to pass, could put together a program that best meets their needs. So if someone wants, if they want to spend a bunch of money on refrigerators and warmers, they could. But if another school says, look, we're just going to do granola bars, peel top cereal, and bottled water, they can do that also. So it's really up to them, but there should be zero, there should be a fiscal note of zero on this.
All right, State Representative Diego Bernal, thank you for joining us. Also with us, Lisa Black, Executive Director of the Student Advocacy Center at San Antonio College. Claire Caddy is the co-founder director for the College and University Food Bank Alliance. Thanks to all of you, and thanks for tuning us in. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio.